of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're announcing that Jonathan Cohey has been selected as an author in one of our upcoming books. So Jonathan is the SVP and COO of Ambulatory and Rehabilitation Services over at PAM Health. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you having me.
Man, I had a little bit of mouthful on that opening.
Yeah, but, it's a lot, right?
But we'll get smoother as we go along. Well, I'm excited to announce to our audience, obviously, your participation in the upcoming book. And also want to go into PAM Health and some of the things that you're working on. But before we do that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Jonathan, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Jonathan, what mission matters to you?
Personal health, growth, and bringing all of that to our community that we serve. We serve communities in 20 different states. So we have the privilege of making sure that we're bringing wellness, health, and rehab into all of those communities. That's my mission and purpose in life. So awesome. I'd love to be able to do it.
Great to have you on and great to have you in the book. So I guess just to get us kicked off here, I'll let the audience know, hey, we're not going to do a deep dive into the book today. We'll be talking kind of high level on it because we definitely do sell books and we'll be bringing Jonathan back on the show to do a deep dive into his writing once the book is live and out there. But just get us kicked off, Jonathan. I mean, where did all it start for you? Like, how did you get involved and started in healthcare? Where did all that begin?
We go back to my roots. I started way back when I was a kid that the whole work ethic piece and the service was kind of part of what I did. I grew up working in the woods with my dad. He taught me all of that. But you fast forward into the healthcare realm. I started in the healthcare realm in about 1996, started working as a nurse's aide in a nursing home. And that piece of it kind of everything snowballed. When I was a nurse's aide, didn't really have time to spend a lot of time rehabilitating patients. Mm-hmm. I saw some therapists walk in. I had time to get patients up, get them to their meal, get them back from their meal, get them to bed, get them dressed and ready for the next meal. And then I was on my way. And in the middle of that, I actually got to observe the therapists that would come into the room and take care of the patients. And I got to see patients get better because of that. And eventually go home. That really inspired me to want to do more. And I knew that there was more. My mission at that time was then to become a therapist. And that inspired me to enroll. I was in college at that time, but that's when I switched my major and became a therapist. And, you know, I graduated then a couple of years later as an occupational therapist. And so I started my healthcare career as a therapist in 98. And, then it just kind of grew from there. If you want me to go through the whole thing, I've been in the healthcare since that 96, but 98 I became a therapist, and for a couple of years I practiced therapy. I lived in a small town in northern Michigan, so you couldn't specialize at that time. Yeah. I love the outpatient side, but you had to know outpatient, inpatient, long-term care, home health. You had to know it all, which at the end of the day, you flash forward to 2022. That's really helped me a lot as I've grown through it. But I was a therapist for a couple of years, and then I was promoted. I became a director of rehab, where I had a whole hospital that I oversaw the rehab portion of that. I was able to do that and be successful. I think healthcare is kind of like everything else in life, that the better you are at it, the more people want to promote, and then hopefully you'll be able to kind of replicate that success at a higher level. I did really well as a director of rehab, and then I was able to promote. I ran a rehab team in the state of Michigan, took care of contracts in my state of Michigan, and then just kind of grew. Then I became a CEO of a small hospital in Michigan. Did that for 5-7 years, and then kind of continued to go. And I had my opportunity, and we'll talk about PAM Health a little bit, had my opportunity with PAM. So you have one hospital, they want to give you more. So That's kind of how my journey, started, and have some stories to tell within that. But it's been an amazing journey for me to go from the woods, working in the woods beside my dad, to now being able to work as a healthcare executive.
And one of the things that I like about your background so much is that you've literally been through the whole thing from, you know, from therapist or nurse to all the way to you know, CEO of a hospital and now working with Pam. And like, so we'll get into this, but I want to stick maybe to some of those earlier days a little bit longer here. So I'm just curious from your point of view, like obviously whether it's in the woods working with dad. And I mean, I grew up in a business household. So I was in the garage working with dad on cars. Like that's how I grew up in Michigan. You know, Detroit, so big car background and car fan. But whether it's, you know, back in the day working with dad, or even in some of your earlier years going into what you do now, I mean, what does work ethic and the idea of like putting in that extra work, like what does that mean to you? What does that term mean to you?
Yeah, I have two really good examples of that. One, when I was a kid working in the woods with dad, it meant getting up early. You know, dad would wake me up, and his big thing is it's daylight in the swamp, right? So you're getting up before the sun's up because you have to get up and get out there because you want to get a majority of that work done. You don't want to be working at, you know, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon when that sun is killing you. Mm-hmm. And you're right out there in the elements. So it's up early. So you have to be consistent. You have to be up early. You have to take care of your equipment. You have to set everything up for success the night before so you can get in and you can be productive. So I've been doing that since I was 8 years. And my dad kind of instilled that in me. And you don't know that that's happening at the time. But over the course of time, that happens. You flash forward and life happens. Another good example for me where I learned that was when I was playing high school football. Mm-hmm. I had a good freshman year and I was a quarterback, captain of the football team. Mm-hmm. And so you go into my sophomore year and I wanted to play both ways. And when you're quarterback, oftentimes they don't want you out there because they want to protect you.
Yeah.
It was really important for me to play both ways. And so I remember Coach Jack Kramer, hey, Coach, thank you. I remember him pulling me aside after practice because I had asked him. I told him I wanted to play both ways.
Yeah.
And he said, he pulled me aside and he said, I'll let you play both ways, but here's what we have to do. Every drill we have, you have to be first. If we're doing sprints, I have to have you first. Wow. I can't have you lagging behind. I need you to practice. You need to be the first one on the practice field. You need to be the last one off the practice field. Yeah. If we're picking up equipment, you have to help pick up the equipment. And I need you in the classroom. I need every time I look into the classroom, I need you to see you sitting in the front row. Mm. So he really instilled those in me, and I did all of those. And I played both ways. And so nobody in the team questioned me playing both ways. Mm. And, you know, because you're taking a roster spot. Why didn't they question it? Because I was first one to practice.
Yeah.
I was first one in all the drills. Mm-hmm. I was there to clean up. I went from drill to drill. I helped the team. And I was a leader in the classrooms too, in school. So I was that example. So, I mean, you kind of flash forward and those are all life lessons.
Yeah.
When you carry that forward, mm-hmm. you talk to young people that come into an organization. Mm-hmm. How can you impress? How can you influence? How can you continue to grow in your career? Mm-hmm. You can take those lessons that you learn. If you think about it, implement those little things. It's not a ton. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt you to do it. It doesn't cost you any money, but it allows you to learn and grow and excel. And then people can count on you. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, you're successful not only in the game of life, in your personal life, mm-hmm. but professionally as well. So Those are two like simple stories, I think, from my childhood. You flash forward the football success and being able to play both ways. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a quarterback but in college, but it led for me to be able to be a defensive back, show mm-hmm. people I could do that. And I got a college scholarship to play baseball and football. But football, if I wasn't a defensive back, if I didn't put in that time there, I wouldn't have been recognized mm-hmm. and be able to have a scholarship. So to a poor kid from Northern Michigan, that meant a lot. And you don't know it, but that's that life lesson at that time that really kind of helps shape you and develop you.
One of the things that I like to bring out and why I asked you this story is because, like, you don't get from being, and I'm not judging roles, I just mean in general, you don't get from being, you know, therapist to CEO of a hospital or to be, you know, working within a big hospital system and all the different things you did. You don't get there by like looking at the clock or counting the hours. Like, there's a whole nother mindset and a whole nother effort that gets you from, you know, wherever you're starting to however high your goal is. Like, when you were possibly, and this is a question for you, when you were, you know, just getting started, did you think, okay, I'm going to be CEO of this hospital? Like, was that in your mind, or like, what was your mindset going into that?
No, first of all, I wanted to get out of Northern Michigan, right? I wanted to do more because I saw the life that my mom and dad lived in. I was very thankful, God rest their souls, very thankful for what they did and how they brought me up. But I always wanted more because they always struggled. And I saw that struggle. I had to live that struggle. And so I always wanted more. But what that more was, I don't think at that time was anything. I exceeded all of those expectations.
Yeah.
I didn't see myself as a CEO. I didn't see myself as a director of rehab. But I think as you go through life, when you're a therapist, you see somebody that's a director of rehab. Mm-hmm. And they could be good. They could be bad. Right. If they're good, they inspire you to want to be that. If it's a bad example, then you're like, well, I can do this. Right. Yeah. And the same, I remember when I was a director of rehab and I moved to Saginaw, Michigan, I met a CEO of a hospital. And it was one of those examples where I'm like, wow, if this guy can do it, I need to raise my ceiling. No longer is it that I want to be a director of a rehab. I want to be a CEO of a hospital. Yeah. And within a year of that point in me thinking that statement, I was the CEO of a small hospital. It was a 32-bed hospital, but I was still CEO of a hospital. And I think then the ceiling kind of goes from there. Then I want multiple hospitals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I want to go from there. So I think once I got rolling and I realized that there really is not a limitation in what you can do. Mm-hmm. The only limitation is what you think. Once I got rid of that, I was able to kind of raise the ceiling, so to speak, on where I went.
Yeah. And one of the big things here, and we've spoken multiple times, and obviously we're getting to know each other better and better through the book publishing process and otherwise, right? Just in general, now that we're in each other's circle. But one of the things that I know is there's like countless like things that had to happen along that way to you being trusted with more and more responsibility, which ultimately led to your current role. So, you know, let's just say to the individuals out there that are maybe earlier in their career, or maybe even middle career, that have aspirations of rising and doing more, like, what would you tell them like about execution and the idea of how you have to show up to work every day? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I get that a lot. So, it's the little things that matter. People, you need to be able to, you touched on it, to be dependable and to be trustworthy. And oftentimes the bar is pretty low with that. What does that mean? Now it means showing up to work on time. But for me, it was always, if you were going to come into our organization and be impressive, it's not only does it show up to work, but show up 10 minutes early. Not only do you show up to meetings, you show up to meetings early and you're prepared. When you show up to meetings, this is not the time to then stop and get prepared. When you're in that meeting, you focus in on what it is that you need to do. And now you've shown up to the meeting early, you're focused, you're participating, you're adding value. Mm-hmm. And I see you're 100% focused. And when I see that, then I want to give you more responsibility. And the more you do that, and if you do that consistently, and I'd like people to know that it's the small things and it's, you know, that consistency that compounds. Yeah. You know, never underestimate the effects of consistency, mm-hmm. right? That should be, if everybody has a tattoo, that should be tattooed somewhere where you can see it each and every day, because it really is true. I want to know that tomorrow I'm going to be able to depend on you. I did today, but it's that consistency. And that I can count on you, because there's big projects that come up. And if you have your department, if that's what you have, your department needs to be the best one in my hospital or the best outpatient I have. Because if you do really well in that department, I want to give you another department. If you have a really good hospital, I want to give you another hospital, mm-hmm. because selfishly, I want my business to go and grow.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the element. And some people are like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. How do I do that? And this is a society as a whole. We want to stick something in the microwave and we want it to be done in 2 minutes, right? Yeah. But that's really not how it happens. It has to be developed over time. You have to build that trust. And us, and most people don't want to put in the work to be able to do it. And it's not hard work. Yeah. I had a gentleman, my first boss, told me that you really have to work 10% harder than that other person. Mm-hmm. That's really what gets you recognized and put on the radar. Mm-hmm. 10% harder. So if people are out there and they're looking in around their office, you need to work 10% harder than the person sitting next to you and around you. So the bar is pretty low sometimes when you think about what that kind of looks like.
Yeah. And it's 10% consistently over time. I think that's the hard part. Just like when it comes to like our physical appearance, maybe we want to gain weight, maybe we want to lose weight, maybe we want to have a certain, you know, physique, whatever it is. Like a lot of times it could be, you know, 10% less calories or 10% like more weight over time that you're lifting or whatever your goal is. But it's interesting because it's easier said than done. But for those that are really focused and kind of get it and understand like what it means to show up every single day, like that's how you think about the greats, whether it's in, I guess, you know, sports gets a lot of the attention, right? So, you know, whether they're in the gym early, they're doing extra, like it's not all at one time. They're not staying in the gym for a month straight and then they stop. No, they're staying in the gym, whatever their set agenda is, for years in order to be the best, depending on what level you're looking at, right? In terms of sports or otherwise. So awesome. I wanted
to help. It helps if you love what you do too. I mean, you have to be, if you can mix that together, it really, really helps.
You took my transition.
John. I didn't know because I knew you were going. I knew you were going.
Transition. All right, we're going to go into this a little bit for everybody watching. Yeah. Just like I said a moment ago, we're not going to give you it all because we'll be bringing Jonathan in for a deep dive. So the book, upcoming launch, what are some of the ideas you plan to propose?
It's my part in the book is all about some of the things we've talked about, all about that preparation and what you do and how you get there, how I got there. So We'll do a little snippet of that piece of it, but it's all about finding your passion and putting that into use, right? So I'll just tell you a quick little story from the healthcare perspective. When I first became a CEO, the healthcare piece that we do, one of it, my first CEO role was as a long-term care acute hospital CEO. Mm-hmm. And so we took care of some really, really sick patients. And I had an opportunity. And mind you, it's 2006, so I'm 30. I'm gonna give away my age if I say that. It's okay. I'm 36 years old at that time, right? So you have all of this responsibility. And remember, before that, I was a director of rehab. Now you're able to admit patients and not admit patients. We were 100% referral based. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget Jelly Bean Girl. And this is the reason why I love that level of care. And grew to love it. Jelly Bean Girl, she was hiding jelly beans for her brother for Easter. Yeah. And while she was hiding them, she ate some jelly beans and a jelly bean got lodged in her throat. Oh. And they didn't find that jelly bean for about 3 days later. Wow. And the whole time she's in the hospital, they're having a hard time getting her properly oxygenated. So it's affected her. And they really are given that she had very little brain activity. Giving her parents like very little chance that she's going to live. And mind you, she had just turned 16 years old. She's at another hospital. And I get a call from that hospital from the CEO saying, hey, listen, we have this patient. I'd really like you to take this patient. The family's not ready to let go. There's not much hope for her, but I think she would be good for your hospital to be able to monitor and give the family at least another week to be able to say goodbye to their loved one. And we didn't take anybody under 18, but she was tall enough where from an equipment standpoint, I know my nursing team's out there going to say, oh God, you didn't, but I did because we were fine, but I took her and really to give the family some more time. Yeah. Flash forward, 3 weeks later, you go on the floor and everybody's really excited. She's made some voluntary movements and she's turned her head in reaction to her mom. Flash forward another week and a half, my whole rehab team has her up with her ventilator and they're basically, she's walking very little of her own movement, but we didn't have big equipment, fancy equipment at that time, but they're basically walking her down the hall.
Man.
And so that in and of itself should give you chills. And then flash forward a year later, the elevator doors open in the hospital. Out walks a beautiful young girl. And she has a piece of paper in her hand. I didn't recognize her. Nobody recognized her. She came up and gave me a big hug. She wanted to show me her driver's certificate that she just got. So that's why you do what you do. And that's why you fall in love with healthcare and you're able to do what you do. So that's what gets you up. And we have the opportunity to do that with patients each and every day and affect families' lives like that. That's why I love what I do. And I'm passionate to develop people to be able to create more jelly bean girl stories. So just a small little snippet of why.
Come on, man. I'm hooked. When do I pick up a copy? Okay, we'll hold off on that until the next interview. But I do want to thank you for sharing that. Seriously.
It's
truly inspiring. And it's a good testament on why people, you know, can find passion in what they're doing and really the difference they're making in lives. Awesome. Let's jump around here a bit. I do want to spend some of the time that we have here today on what you're doing present day at PAM Health. So maybe give us a little bit of background on what you're doing overall.
Yeah. So PAM Health, we have been around since 2006. We started out, Mr. Misitano, Mr. Anthony Misitano founded the company and basically brought on a superstar team that he had worked with over the course of the years. And it's impressive what he built. I joined the company in 2016. And at that time, we had a little over 20 hospitals. So there was a group of three of us, Portland and Jerry and Mr. Jason Carter, who hired me. Thank you, Jason, and brought me on. I was a division president at that time, and I had 9 hospitals that I would oversee. And I did that for a few years with PAM Health. And we built a foundation with Mr. Misitano's. The operation structure that he built was absolutely brilliant. Built a really strong foundation on the back of what we now have as PAM Health. You flash forward from there, now we have over 60 hospitals in 20 states. I'm in charge now in the last year and a half, I've been promoted to Senior Vice President, Chief Operating Officer of our ambulatory division. So now I'm in charge of all of our outpatient growth. So when I talked about that outpatient experience that I had early in my career and throughout, I'm doing that now for PAM Health. So any of our OT, occupational, physical, and speech therapy clinics, we have wound care and hyperbaric oxygen clinics, small physician clinics. So any of our outpatient growth, home health care and hospice, any of that growth and operations I oversee. Absolutely love what I get a chance to do. It's an exciting time in healthcare as we continue to build that foundation and grow. So that's just a little snippet on what I do now. Now I work closely with Kristen Smith, who's our Chief Transformation Officer, and she does amazing work and really allows me to do what I need to do to grow the ambulatory side of our business. So again, I'm waking up and enjoying getting to do what I love to do every day.
Yeah. And so you have a unique background, as I mentioned, because you've been in the space a long time. You've risen up the ranks and not only from different, you know, systems and sizes of hospitals and otherwise, but also in different areas and functions that you serve. So I'm just interested from your standpoint, as you mentioned, a lot of change, a lot of things going on in healthcare in general. What trends from your neck of the woods are interesting you, are on your radar? Like, what excites you?
Yeah, I think it's the transition right now in healthcare overall from our traditional fee-based for reimbursement to our value-based platform of reimbursement. So everything is moving more toward that value-based care. And what that means is getting that reimbursement being driven off of your outcomes. Your outcomes, making sure that you're keeping patients happy, making sure that you're doing things efficiently and effective, and being a good fiscal partner with the monies that are out there. So, and providing great outcomes. Where before it was basically you were paid off of the services you delivered, good, bad, and indifferent. That's how you were reimbursed. Now it's more toward those values. So are you making sure that patients are satisfied? Mm-hmm. Are you providing the outcomes that you're supposed to do? And are you doing that efficiently? And I think that's the biggest challenge that we have out there now as healthcare kind of shifts. So what does that look like? What it looks like is providing more and more services in that post-acute sector and making sure that we're being good fiscally responsible for the patient's healthcare spend. So if that patient can be better suited with their healthcare at home, we need to do all we can do to provide those services that we can in the least expensive level of care. So what we're trying to do is expand our footprint into home healthcare, expand our footprint into outpatient services, expanding what we can do in the inpatient rehab side of the world, and what we can do by expanding our technology outreach. So the use of artificial intelligence and robotics, and also doing the same in the long-term acute care hospital space. We've been leaders in that transition, and that's really where I see us going. Mm-hmm. And with Mr. Misitano and the leadership, we're set. We have new hospitals set and opening. We open another one next week in Georgetown, Delaware, plug to George and his team in Georgetown. So we're set to continue to go and grow and expand in this area. And again, it's more that value-based, that value-centered. And it's really great because in that, the patients win. And I think everybody gets better care if our focus is on that quality of care, their outcomes, and the patient satisfaction.
Yeah. And very simply put, so I don't want to glance over this part because I've been following the move to value-based care. And from my knowledge, which I'm not claiming to be expert on this, but exactly what you're talking about. So the idea that, you know, in the past we had a certain system that was based on, you know, just billing for the service. Now it's not. And this is my terrible, I've been trying to come up with a metaphor for this. I'm not saying I'm going to do this right, Jonathan, but it's like saying, not only are you charging for the tires in the past, but it's like, does the car run, right? Like, what's the outcome? Mm-hmm. I always try to bring this back to Michigan or back to a Detroit reference, but I'm terrible at that metaphor. I've been trying to do a car slash value-based care metaphor. Not sure I got it there, but the idea here is that overall, everybody in healthcare, I believe for the most part, is looking at how do you get better patient outcomes? And if, because that's the idea, like you don't really, in my opinion, you don't go into healthcare based on the fact that you don't want to help people. It's too hard. It's too hard in business. A lot of other ways to make money than working with individuals that need your help in terms of healthcare. Like it's a difficult business overall. So the idea is if this new process or the shift to value-based care and thinking about patient outcomes, and that's the focus, like a better quality of living and a better system, like it is possible, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and it's more focused, as you said, on the quality and all of the wellness piece of it and the prevention. Yeah. So there's some chronic illnesses you can't cure a chronic illness, but you can teach and work with somebody so they can live with that chronic illness better for a longer time.
Yeah. And have a better quality of life in doing that.
Absolutely.
Right? Like that's the point. It's not just about living longer and not necessarily enjoying that life. It's like, if we can live longer and enjoy the life, like that's the goal. And I mean, one thing's for certain, all of us watching this are aging. Like that's happening. So I love having very individuals like yourself and smart individuals that are working on this problem for all of us, because we all are going to use the healthcare system at some point in one way, shape or form, others for ourselves, loved ones, family, like we're all affected by it. So I think it's great to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jonathan, I just have to say I am really excited to have you in the upcoming book. I know we gave a little teaser today. We went into Penn Health a bit, into some of the trends that you're seeing overall. And I think you said it was in Georgetown. Like, that's awesome. New hospital opening, lots of good things happening. I just have to ask, so what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for your team?
Continuing to focus on growth professionally, the growth that I discussed. We're opening new hospitals, new outpatient centers, continuing to expand our services in the home and making sure that we can provide anything and everything that our patients in those communities that we serve. So I'm really focusing on that growth in the ambulatory space for PAM Health. And then personally, I'm focused on making myself a better version of me. And that's making sure that I'm focusing on my mind, body, and spirit. Shout out to my inspiration, my wife, Stephanie. She keeps me focused and motivated. Happy early birthday. It's her birthday tomorrow. So just keeping focused on that portion of my life will continue to grow and expand into everywhere. Super excited to launch the book. I can't wait for that. can't wait for the next interview when we're able to get into more of that piece of it. So looking forward to it. Really appreciate everything, Adam. I love being part of the team.
Wonderful. And we love having you. And happy birthday, Stephanie, a day early, but happy birthday. So, Jonathan, if somebody's watching this and they want to learn more about PAM Health and just and follow up and just to learn more, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I'd say go to our website, pamhealth.com. It's PAMHEALTH, pamhealth.com. Go to pamhealth.com to learn more about us. You can follow us on LinkedIn. We post a ton of information on LinkedIn, our teams and our hospitals across the 20 states. It's the best of the best, the PAM Health team. So pretty big shout out to everybody with PAM Health. Love what they do. Impressed and just humbled to be able to be part of that team. So that's the best way to reach us.
Amazing. And we'll put the website and all that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and experts and having them share their business experience, their journey, and really what we can all learn and gain from that so that we all become, you know, better versions of ourselves. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Jonathan, again, pleasure working with you. Can't wait to the next time. Thanks again for coming on.
Excellent. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. Take care.